Blog Talk Radio.
Professor Danita Applewhite coming live to you from Arizona, Mesa, Arizona. And that was the great horn playing by Nazim Rashid on his album Remembrance, available on Amazon. We appreciate Nazim Rashid's music opening our show. His show, he also has a radio show called The Mentor Man. Reconnected is the book that he's written. And he follows our show on blogtalkradio.com right after we finish here at 11 o'clock. His show starts, so make sure you join him. As a matter of fact, the special guest that we have this morning will be sharing her knowledge with us here on the Student to Teacher show, and also you can catch up with her on child development issues with Nazim Rashid's show, following her presentation here. So make sure that you keep that in mind. And I really, really am excited about the amount of response we're getting from parents recognizing how their role as teachers. And something that we know that we're teachers as parents, but I don't think it really has hit home as well as it has lately with some of our listeners, that, my gosh, I am the first teacher of my children. I am responsible for their attitudes. I'm responsible for modeling good behavior. I am responsible for making sure that their environment is safe, and that means from psychological harm as well as physical harm, emotional harm, and spiritual harm. So all of those things are really, I think, beginning to take root in some of our listeners that are parents and struggling through school and work issues. And of course, definitely because we deal, White Apple Institute, our sponsor, deals with students with disabilities, our adult students. Many of them have mental health disorders, and they're dealing with anxiety, stress, bipolar disorder, mood disorders, in addition to trying to go to school. Just recently, I was working with one of our students who is dealing with fibromyalgia in addition to anxiety, and she has two children. And they're at the age, at that adolescent age, where it's becoming extremely stressful for her to finish her master's degree. And so I was helping her out with a couple of techniques for relaxation, and I said, well, let me share that with some of our listeners on the show. So I'll be doing that this morning, as a matter of fact, is sharing some techniques for listening, for lessening the stress in your life and managing it. But we have to change the way we handle stress. Stress is not just one of those words you throw around and you say it's not really that important, everybody's stressed. Stress can be very, very harmful, as our guest Mitch Noble will bring out. As a child and family therapist, she deals a lot with the stress issues leading to many, many other things. And I'm saying to you and my students out there, what is the point of setting goals and preparing to make all these changes at home and school and work if you have not changed the way you handle stress. And it's especially true for the parent or teacher dealing with mental health issues, as I mentioned earlier, like anxiety or mood issues or mood disorders. And parents who attend classes and maintain work schedules and raise children will definitely feel a benefit from this show today, from some of the things that we're going to share. Now, I promised you that I would go through some stress relaxation techniques with you, and many of them you've heard before, and you could probably access them on the internet yourself, but I don't think you've heard them in quite the way that I'm going to present them this morning. There are 10 ways to manage stress in your life, and I'm going to move that around a little bit to fit into the schedules, the work schedules that many of us keep, and the school schedules. You know how sometimes when you're running and doing a list of things and everything just seems overwhelming in your life, you get your stomach feels tight, your muscles feel tight, and this is the time that stress is really beginning to heighten inside of your body in your physical and mental state. And when you feel that, you have to reach out and do something to lower the stress. And one of the things that you can immediately start to do is stop and breathe. Stop and breathe. Secondly, make relaxation part of your daily routine. See, this is something we miss a lot. We do it when the stress hits and we're heightened and it's there. What about a daily routine? Just as much as we have a daily routine of fixing our lunch or getting up and getting ready for work, there should be a daily routine of stress relaxation in the morning and in the evening to relax a little. Just take, like I said earlier, take those breaths and have a cup of tea or coffee, and even at night, it might be a good idea to have something at night when you come home from work, especially, and take a few moments. I know that I was reading something about children, and they're saying that if my mom or my dad would just relax a little bit when they come home, not for a long time, they can take a nap, but not for a long time, the survey was saying, that they would be a lot better with me. And so I took that to heart, and I wanted to share that with you, that maybe that's something that you could do when you come home from work is just to get away a little bit from the stress of running right in to the family routine. And try your best to get rid of the worries of the day. It's not easy. Your children know, your family knows when you're stressed out from work. And there's no way in the world that you can come home from school or work and expect that you're going to forget everything that happened during the day, especially if it was a very stressful day. So try your best to free your thoughts of that, but also to understand that they're going to be there. And so maybe it might be a good idea to talk about it, especially if you have an older child. It might be a great idea to talk about it or call someone that you can talk to. Another way of relaxing is getting back to nature. Take a walk. Take a walk with your children. A hike. A park. Anywhere that you can go to walk at. Listen to some music together. And each day, try to bring yourself a little gift, something that you enjoy with your children. You know, we all have some nights that we do entertainment with our children. I hope so. You know, movie night or whatever. Try to do that a little bit more often in your life to bring down your stress level. Get your priorities in order. Imagine yourself. Concentrate on where you are and begin to relax more often. Exercise with your children. Take as many breaks as you need to, even at work. Now, I know that employers or at school, you can't just walk out and take a break. That's not the kind of break I'm talking about. I'm talking about the type of break where you get away mentally and spiritually, allow yourself to visualize another place for about 5 minutes. Yes, it's like daydreaming. I know that some of the teachers out there that are listening are probably like, oh, I don't want my students daydreaming in the classroom. But believe me, it will help you to get through, especially with all the adult pressures that you're dealing with in the day. When you have finished with doing all of these things and looking at all of these things that you could do to lessen your stress in your life, I suggest, and I think you're going to hear this from Midge Noble, is putting together a list of some of the triggers in your life that cause you stress. And look at that list from time to time and try to remove some of those stressors as much as you can, or modify them so that they won't become so overpowering. Recognize your strengths. As Marianne Williamson in one of her poems said, our deepest fear is not that we are not powerful. Our deepest fear is recognizing that we are powerful beyond measure. We are able to generate the power to cope with what we're going through. So I hope those little tips will help you out there with dealing with stress in the mornings and in the evenings. We have a number of callers online this morning, and I believe we're going to introduce our guest speaker in just a moment. Midge Noble, are you online?
I am.
Yes, thank you. Good morning for joining. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm so sorry that I'm later than I expected to be. The time zone thing got me confused, and I was expecting to be on at 1 o'clock here. But
oh, that's fine. That's
talk
fine.
Talk about stress. Oh my God.
Yes. Talk about stress. So you've got to change the way you handle the stress there. Okay. That's wonderful. So we have a number of callers on. Let's have them listen to what you have to say. I have a number of questions that have come in, and that maybe you can help us get through as far as, you know, your work with parents as a child and family therapist. We enjoy having you on the show. And I just want to know if you have any ideas about how parents can diminish some of the stress in their life. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, stress is all about how we perceive our lives and how we perceive situations. So the first thing to remember, sort of like just with what happened today, just a second about me realizing as I was preparing for the show at 1 o'clock, you were already on air, and you start to feel everything rise up. But we always have to remember that everything happens as it is designed, that we can't control anything other than the moment that we're in. And so taking that deep breath and just putting yourself in the moment and making the best decision you can at that time. You know, my decision was to not panic about not being on at the top of the hour, but to join when I can and provide as much, you know, feedback and insight as I possibly can in the moment. So when we're stressing out about something, we have to kind of back up, take a breath, and look at the reality. The problem is usually not as big as it seems in our chaotic brain. And if we can just take that moment to come out of the chaos and say, okay, what can I do right this moment? One, to calm down. Two, to feel better. And three, to manage what's in front of me.
And this is important because stress is a killer. And I don't think that we can say enough about that. But most, I think for what we're talking about this morning is the impact that it makes on raising children and the impact it makes on their studies and their progress. Because if we're not modeling the ability to handle our stress, how can we model that and teach them the same thing?
Absolutely. As we've talked about before, you know, children absolutely are sponges, and they take in everything that we say, but they take in twice as much of what we do because they're always modeling and watching, and they emulate us. And so if we freak out over every little thing that happens, then we're training them to freak out over things that happen. And so you're absolutely right. We're showing them the path, and so we have to be really clear about what path we're on and what we want to show our kids.
Do you find that in your work you have to encourage parents to look to examine their role of who they really are and what their role is with their children, because many times parents become controllers, like dictators, in their children's lives. But isn't it more about the fact that they should have more loving concern and nurturing and remaining calm and lowering their expectations so that they won't have so many disappointments?
I love that. I agree with you 100%, and I was actually dealing with a family this week on that very issue about being it, that, you know, I'm all about consistency and structure for kids because I think they need that. And I also think that they need to know, you know, the path of valuing things and being appreciative. Mm-hmm. But if we are always so super, super strict and we hold the bar so high, a lot of our kids under that amount of stress will choose not to even try to attain it. Some kids mm-hmm. are pretty, you know, proactive, and they'll jump for that bar, and they'll, you know, say, well, I'll show you. But a lot of our kids don't have that I'll show you spirit and want to jump for that bar. And they just think, well, I can't do it your way, or I can't do it good enough. And they get so stressed out that they just don't even try. And so, you know, if we're able to be compassionate, and instead of expecting kids to do it our way, we can mm-hmm. really de-stress our kids by saying, you know, this is the way that I do it. And, you know, try it that way. If it doesn't feel right and you have a better idea, go for it. You know, if we start from when they're little to give them a little bit of leeway to do things their way, and if it's not anything that's dangerous to them or something right. that's just so out of line, you know, it doesn't have to always be done the way we like it done, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, you know, writing papers, you know, for school, you know, everybody, you know, even English teachers, everybody has their way of doing it. And I remember being mm-hmm. so frustrated and stressed out that, you know, I have my own writing style. And even though mm-hmm. it may not be exactly your style, you know, it doesn't mean that it's bad. But we get raised to think that, you know, that if you don't do mm-hmm. it exactly this way, it's not good enough. And that provides a lot of stress for kids, I think, going through school. You know, so, mm-hmm. you know, trying to deal with home demands and school pressures, there is a lot of stress. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of kids now with irritable bowel syndrome mm-hmm. and all mm-hmm. sorts of stress-related anxieties because they can't, you know, everything is up a notch in school these days, and a lot of kids are having a hard time with that pressure.
Now, you see, in my work on the other end with adult students, I'm seeing the same thing, an increase mm-hmm. in irritable bowel syndrome, an increase wow. in stress and anxiety because they're trying to handle, they're the student and they're the parent and they're teachers of their children. Right. I mean, if you put all of that together and they're trying to work, that is the average parent that's out there now in the workforce. They're also going to school or some kind of job training to advance themselves. And believe me, the stress is overwhelming. We're trying to keep up with something in our society. We used to call it keeping up with the Joneses. Okay,
right.
But, I mean, that really has an impact on how we survive through and succeed through our work day and our school day. And so because our show is focused on helping those adult students really get through this, and adult students today with children, we need to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because many of our adult parents have disabilities. And the major disability that I'm talking about here is is mental health. Mental mm-hmm. health, anxiety disorders, and mood disorders. And what we're finding, and I just want to know if you've found anything about this, because I assume you have parents that are going to school and working also.
Absolutely, yes.
Right. Now, mental health experts, some of them have said that the parents that abuse their power, okay, are usually suffering from some kind of mental disorder. And I don't want to play on that too much, because I don't think that that's very, very common. But what I am concerned with is that with mental health disorders, we have that fine line, don't we, of making sure that we take our meds and that we stay stable so that it doesn't be stress doesn't overplay into the way we raise our children.
I totally agree. You know, you have to be well in order to raise well-adjusted kids. And so if you have any kind of anxiety disorder or chronic depression, it is imperative that you, you know, follow the guidelines that have been given to you to take care of yourself. That's to eat right, to exercise, get rest, you know, understand that HALT syndrome, H-A-L-T, if you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, whether it's a substance abuse issue or a mental health issue, you're not going to be your best if you let yourself get out of whack. And so self-care, making sure that you take time for yourself and reduce your stress as much as possible, is absolutely going to slide down to your kids. One of the things that I suggest for my parents to do is, even though it may be hard to get up 15 or 20 minutes earlier, to do that. Get up 15 to 20 minutes earlier. Take your time in the bathroom without any of your kids being up, without ever having to, you know, get behind, you know, try to raise them that morning. Just get in the shower, get your coffee, make sure that you have a moment to meditate or to take some deep breaths or whatever you have to do, and imagine how great it's going to be to raise, you know, to get your kids out of bed. Picture that before you even go wake them up, how you want to do it, how you, you know, instead of being like, get out of bed, you know.
Right.
So if you take that moment for yourself, then when you're done in the bathroom, then you're able to then be more on point with your kids. I have so many parents get stressed out and frustrated because they're trying to get themselves ready and their kids aren't on task. And I'm like, well, of course they're not on task. One, they may have hyperactivity. Two, they may, you know, of course their kids are going to want to play more than put on their pants. But if you're completely ready, if you're completely ready, then you can follow you can be the supervisor and the encourager and the cheerleader because you're done. And you don't have to be the one trying to get ready while your kids are trying to get ready. It's just that simple little tweak of the morning routine that can make it go so much smoother. You know, planning ahead the night before.
Yes. And I hope you appreciate also what I was bringing out earlier, the morning. That was a great suggestion for the morning, getting up earlier from the children. But also, how about when you come home, to taking that moment to just get away from things for a moment. And I know that's kind of hard for parents, but I think it's absolutely necessary to move away, and it, you know, whatever relationship you're in.
I totally agree. Self-time is imperative. If you don't fill your vessel, and your vessel is your soul, if you don't feed your soul, you've got nothing to give to anybody else. And so play dates are great. If you can, you know, do something with a neighbor, you know, okay, you know, you take my kids for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, I'll take your kids, you know, however you can work that out with your support system, or even being able to sit your kids, you know, in an activity for 5 or 10 minutes while you go take a quick break for yourself. You know, of course, it all depends on the age of your kids and whether or not your kids can, you know, be left alone for a nanosecond without destroying something. You know, some of my kids can't be left alone for a nanosecond, but seriously. So, you know, you have to read your kids, but if you've raised your kids to have quiet time, if you've raised your kids, you know, so then everybody can have quiet time. Okay, today, you know, we're going to come home, we're going to run around the yard, you know, for about 5 or 10 minutes, and we're going to throw the ball, and then we're all going to come in and have some quiet time before we start homework. So you take that moment to model for them, to sit there in a state of relaxation, put on some soft music, decompress. Their energy level is going to be higher for schoolwork, and so you're going to probably be ahead more than you think you're going to be behind.
Thank you. We have a lot of callers out here. I want to make sure that if there's any questions out there for our listeners, I don't have time to go through each one to ask you, but is there anyone out there right now on the switchboard that has any questions or concerns about what we've been talking about this morning? Please speak up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Consuelo Asteque, and I have been listening to your guest, Ms. Noble, and the most wonderful three hints that I could sum up the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
What you said, that we have to keep in mind everything depends on how we perceive life. Number one, everything that happens is by design. Mm-hmm. It has been designed to happen. The moment it's happening, it's supposed to be. And second, you only have control of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So then your focus is on managing the moment. And that is key, and that sums up, I believe, how to combat stress. And I do thank Ms. Noble for pointing us towards that wise perception.
And we appreciate you sharing that. And one of the things that I did want to make sure that I interject is that the listeners on the show this morning and some of you that will come on and listen to the archive show may not be directly parents. You may have your own children, grown children, that are parents with children, and you want to share some of these tips with them. If you're a teacher, especially in postgraduate level, you want to make sure that your students at least encourage them to listen to the show so that they can get some tips. And definitely, Mitch, I do online counseling, so I'm available as a rehabilitation counselor to help them get through school and work. Now, you're located in what state?
I'm in Asheboro, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. So, and you don't do any online counseling, right?
No, I don't at this point. I can see things going in that direction, but it hasn't it hasn't evolved yet.
Right. And you know, one thing that I know about you already is that if I have parents that are coming to me with questions, that I can always relate them to you and get some direct answers. And
absolutely.
So I encourage our listeners to do that, to make sure you contact White Apple Institute, and that's whiteappleinstitute.org, and make sure that you let us know if there are any questions that you have about how you can change the way you handle stress. We have a caller from 336 area code. I'm not sure what that is.
That's my
area
code.
That's your, okay. We have a 438 number, 480. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right. Any questions? Concerns about?
I'd just like to make a comment in regards to what you guys were talking about in the mornings about the importance of getting ready prior to your children so you're not rushed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've been practicing that pretty much all my child's life just because it is so important that you get up and get ready if you can before them so you're not stressed and rushing around.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that
good
we like
you.
And the thing that we like to practice in the evening for relaxation is downtime with board games, cards, whatever we'd like to do. Unfortunately, I have a job where in between I can come home for dinner with my child prior to going to my next job. Those are all important, I think, for relaxation also.
Well, and what you said was so awesome because what you're doing is FaceTime with your kids. And when you're doing those relaxation things in the afternoon, you're spending quality time with your kids. And that's going to be a memory that they will have of you for a lifetime. So that is awesome. Good for you.
Before we leave our show, with less than a few minutes here, I wanted to also encourage you, as we're making changes in the workplace, is to talk to other parents that are in the workplace about getting together and sharing with employers how important it is, not just that you use your break time, because many times parents use their break time to call home and find out what's going on. And that already takes away your moment for relaxation. There should be some flexibility in allowing you to call home or accept calls from your children somewhere in the workday. So let's work on that collectively together as we move forward, changing our world into a much more positive place to be in. This is Professor Applewhite signing out this morning and appreciating all of our listeners and hoping that you'll share this show with other people and some of the techniques. Mitch, I know you're coming back to the show again to share some more things for our parents, and I really appreciate you this morning. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for Midge on the Reconnected show following our show this morning. We close our show with Wes Ricks, flute player from Two Worlds Apple.